TV.
Okay, I think I'm seeing it more clearly now. I think I'm understanding it, and this is really good. Still getting revelation on this. We're going to look into God's way with miracles. Everybody likes to talk about miracles, right? Wrong. I'm finding out that some people have trouble with the fantastic, with the one in a billion, with the fact that God does not always work in accord with the physical laws that he created, i.e. Jesus walking on water and many other instances. And what we have here with the virgin birth, this is designed, the virgin birth, the birth without sperm, it is designed to fill us with awe and to fill us with wonder. But when I finish the audio that my son Gabe made, you are going to hear Liam McAllister say that all this word became flesh business, and God was in the Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He said it's just an Alice in Wonderland mystery, fantastic, crazy tale. It's like it's too, you're going to hear this yourself, it's too fantastic for Liam McAllister to wrap his mind around. Somehow he accepts the snatching away. I don't know, like that's normal, that's natural. Living members of the body of Christ are going to rise and meet Christ. I guess that's founded in the real world. That's something we're used to. That's something that we really don't have to gape in awe at or blow our minds in contemplation of. But the word becoming flesh, form of God coming to be in the fashion of a human. And because this particular man, Liam McAllister, doesn't understand it. He understands the snatching way, he just doesn't understand this. But because he personally doesn't understand this, he relegates it to an Alice in Wonderland fantasy. But Liam, what about those of us who do understand it? I mean, it's kind of in the same category, I believe, as the snatching away. It's fantastic. It's godlike. It's Christlike. It's a miracle. But I'm going to show you from quotes, new quotes in yesterday's video, quotes in the comment section of the YouTube video. I'm going to show you quotes how they have to have a natural explanation for, even though they claim that God was Jesus's father, they must have a natural explanation for it. They assume a natural explanation for it. And I think it's so strange. Let's see if I can figure this out on the fly here. It's so strange that they need this for the virgin birth. They need this for the begettal of Jesus Christ. But they don't need it for, say, the loaves and the fishes. Why don't they need it for that? They don't need it for Jesus walking on water. They don't need it for the snatching away. They're just willing to accept that this is phenomenal. This is fantastic. It's never happened before. We have no explanation for it except God performed a miracle. Why is it that when you get to the virgin birth and the generation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to explain it by natural means, even while having our cake and eating it too, wanting to say that, well, of course it was divine, of course it was supernatural, but God supernaturally used sperm. I'm going to show you distinct comments. And it seems to me that this touches, I'm hypothesizing on the fly here, it touches on a particular, I call it a disturbing need in humanity to bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, down to our level, or to make him more accessible to us. Maybe it's to help us believe that we could possibly become like him. It makes it easier, perhaps, if we narrow the gap between Christ and us. But Christ already narrowed the gap. He became flesh, he took on human characteristics. But perhaps if they narrow that gap and make him completely like us, then maybe it's not such a leap for them, a leap of faith, not such a leap of faith to think that we'll be snatched away and be made like him. And I think maybe the problem is a lack of faith here. And there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing you can do about that. It's got to be something provided by God. But this is the faith I'm talking about, is the faith to believe in a supernatural God who at special times in history breaks his laws of nature. And I love it when it happens. God has given me the faith to rejoice when it happens. And I also have the faith that no matter the chasm between an immortal glorified Christ and little lowly Martin Zender, in spite of that, God can bring me up to speed instantly. And I can acknowledge the miracle of the virgin birth. Let's start with the comments and I'll show you exactly what I mean here. Under Grace, I should know who this is, but I really can't think of who this is. He goes by Under Grace 722. He said this in yesterday's video. This is fresh material. You've never heard this before. This is really interesting. I had to share this with you. He says, quote, God placed Christ in the womb of Mary. Nothing is impossible for God, and Scripture never mentions sperm. In fact, it deliberately avoids any biological language. End of quote. I like that. I love it. It deliberately avoids any biological language. And we're going to hear a quote from Stephen Janowski coming up here, where he mentions, again, this lack of biological methods when it comes to the generation of Christ. My response to Under Grace was one word, and I used an exclamation point, which you know I don't often use, but really called for it here. I said, precisely, exclamation point. Faith igniter, Richard Gokel, the man who's obsessed with sperm, he did not like my comment at all. He did not like me agreeing with Under Grace, that God placed Christ in the womb of Mary. Nothing is impossible for God, reminding you of the quote of Under Grace. That Scripture never mentions sperm. In fact, it deliberately avoids any biological language. Richard says, she conceived, and he puts conceived in capital letters, like, duh, she conceived. And then he says, Jesus just popped into her womb. There it is. There it is. There's the whole Tory viewpoint. You mean what, Jesus just popped into her womb? It's like, you're going to tell me like it just happened by a miracle? He just popped in there? Well, technically, no. As I read yesterday and the day before, the Spirit of God overshadowed Miriam. So he didn't just pop in there. But if you want to put it that way, yes, he just popped in there. Then he says, that's Gnosticism. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not in the mood to study Gnosticism to find out what you're talking about there. But yes, Jesus just popped into her womb. You have a problem with that? And the fish just popped out of the basket, Richard. And the loaves of bread just popped out of the basket. How did that happen? And the lame man just popped off the ground and started walking. And Lazarus just popped out of the tomb. What are you telling me? Lazarus just popped out of the tomb? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You're telling me the loaves and the fishes just popped out of the basket like nothing? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. It's not the usual way, is it? And there's someone else here who believes this way. That's not the usual way. This was a unique creation. This is a unique creation. She conceived. Do you know what the definition of conceived is? Became pregnant. This is my response to Mr. Gokel. She conceived because the Spirit of God overshadowed her. And then Jesus just popped into her womb. That's so interesting, isn't it? Jesus just popped into her womb? Incredulous. Absolutely incredulous. And why doesn't he say that about the loaves and fish? If the generation of Jesus Christ required sperm, why didn't the loaves and the fish require going to the store? Or going to the lake and catching more fish? Going to the bakery, buying more bread? That's the natural way. You could still say, well, God provided a miracle. The money just showed up, and all of a sudden the disciples had the money. It was a miracle. God provided the money, but they had to go to the store and buy the bread. They had to go to the Sea of Galilee and catch the fish. That's what you're saying. There has to be sperm here. I said she conceived because the Spirit of God overshadowed her. I swear, you are obsessed with this sperm and insistent upon disregarding the text and forcing our Lord to be ordinary. They are forcing our Lord to be ordinary. Do you also have a scientific, biological explanation of how Jesus walked on water? How the loaves and fish were multiplied? How the dead were raised? Will you explain these things with gravity, inertia, or some other natural source? That's exactly what you're doing here, Richard. You act as though capitalizing the word conceived proves sperm. This is exactly how he thinks. He capitalized, she conceived, Martin. Does she conceive? And he's convinced that that means that requires the little swimmy thing. I'm tired of saying sperm. We'll call it the little biological swimmy thing. He thinks that requires that. No, it's a complete assumption. It only proves that she conceived. That was the end of my comment. And again, the definition of conceived is became pregnant. She became pregnant. How did she become pregnant? That is the question. Gerudo King, that is Stephen Janowski, loved my video yesterday. He says, wow, I love this point. And my point is that since they believe it was a swimmy thingy that was human, then it must belong to a man. And my question was, where's the man? Who's the man? Who is the man? Stephen says, I love this point, in which case God wouldn't be his father. But you see, they want their cake and eat it too. They want to say God's his father. Of course it was supernatural. But the supernaturality of it required the swimmy biological thing with a little head on it and the instinct for all things female. Well, I love this point, says Stephen Janowski. Most rational scientific individuals understand. We're not denying that there are rational scientific events that happen in this world. They happen every day. This is the exception. Stephen says most rational scientific individuals understand that sperm plus ovum equals new life. Yes, that's the way it usually happens. But the Son of God is taking flesh. This has never happened before. So it's happening for the first time. And I would think that even normal people would think, God, something weird's got to happen for that to happen. Wait, you're telling me that the Son of God's love, the image of the invisible God, the one who represents God, the one who created everything, is going to come to be in fashion as a human? Gonna come down to earth and look like us? Oh my God, that's never happened before. That's the strangest thing I ever heard. Something weird's got to happen for that to happen. Yes, that's normal. See, we who believe the truth, it's normal. And we believe scripture. Jesus just popped into Mary's womb. Exactly. Richard can't see it. No, it's got to have a natural reason. My natural mind can't wrap around it. Obviously not. Obviously not. Stephen goes on, but there is no sperm. There is no male here. No male is here. And Miriam said, I have not known a man. The passage they are using to claim, that is the passage the Tories are using to claim Jesus was, quote, only a man, and that's exactly the point, fundamentally describes the discrepancy. In other words, in the passage itself is evidence against their claim. Stephen says this. Please pay close attention to this. This is so smart. He, meaning Jesus Christ, receives a life-fueled spirit which powers the unique body in man's likeness. And unlike Richard Golko, he has verse references here, Stephen does. Romans 8:3, Philippians 2:7, Hebrews 10:5. Let me read this again. He receives a life-fueled spirit which powers the unique body in man's likeness. The power that provided for the conception was, rather than a biological swimmy thing, the Spirit of God. That makes it not, that makes Jesus Christ not completely just like us, doesn't it? Because not one of us were created apart from the biological swimmy thing. Not one of us. But he was. It says exactly how he was generated. Luke 1 describes exactly how the conception took place. You know, I've had friends joke about winning the lottery. They say, well, if God wants me to win the lottery, I'll win the lottery. And then somebody will say, but did you buy a ticket? You have to buy a ticket, obviously, or you can't win the lottery. And my answer was, you don't even need to buy a ticket. If God wants you to win the lottery, your ticket will show up in the hopper or wherever, right? Is that right? You see, that's the wild faith that we have, some of us have. You don't even need to buy the ticket. It's like Jesus telling Peter how to pay the temple tax. Go cast a hook in the sea and bring out the first fish you find. And in its belly, you'll find a stater, which is enough for to pay both Jesus' and Peter's temple tax. This is a question I have in my mind, and I don't know the answer to this, but we're talking about miracles today. It's a great topic. We don't see too many miracles. So I'll be damned if I'm going to let these people take this one away. Life is so void of miracles. It's so ordinary. Sperm and egg, every day. Sperm and egg, bacon and eggs. And it's just every damn day. There's the same thing every day. So now we have the Son of God being born 2,000 years ago. A miracle, yeah. Oh, no. It wasn't a miracle. It was still sperm. No, you're not taking my miracle away. You keep your grimy paws off of Mary's uterus. So I've often wondered, did the fish from which Peter drew the coins, can you imagine throwing in that hook, catching a fish, and Peter putting his finger in the fish? If, oh my God, there it is. Oh my God, that must have been freaky. This happened to a guy, Peter. Put his, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Did the fish swallow the coin at some point, see a shiny thing on the ground, the fish said, that looks delicious. I wonder what that is. And maybe it's a little baby starfish. It eats the coin, eats the stater. And somebody threw the stater out of frustration, let's say. A guy takes the alimony that he's supposed to pay for his wife. He gets pissed at his ex-wife. He throws a bunch of money in the Sea of Galilee. The stater's down there. The fish mistakes it for a shiny starfish, and it eats it. And then Peter throws in a hook, gets that exact fish, puts his finger in, and pulls out the stater. Or, did God miraculously cause the stater to appear in the fish's belly? Do we really need this natural progression? Do we really need to ask this question? Like, I wonder how that happened. Oh, I wonder how that happened. No, I am digging the miracle. I say the thing just showed up. I like that. The other could have happened, but here, we're told in the text, in that place in Scripture, we're not told what happens. Here we are, Spirit of God overshadowed her. It's like, okay, we're told, so why is there any question? But these people have to listen to this. This is another comment. Our friend named Paula, not the Paula from Kansas City, this is another Paula, but a real sweet lady, but she seems to be a Tory here, but sometimes she doesn't seem to be a Tory. I'm kind of confused. She says to Stephen Janowski, did I finish my comment? No, I didn't. Did I finish my comment too? Yes, Richard Golko. She conceived. Okay, all that means is she became pregnant. Why do you have to make it via a sperm? But now we're getting down to chromosomes. Isn't this interesting? Listen to this. Paula says, hi, Stephen. She's talking to Stephen Janowski. I don't have his comment, but I do have his answer. Like many miraculous accounts in Scripture, it doesn't mention all the scientific details how the miracle took place. Hold on right there, Paula. Hold on right there. I love you, dear. But Like many miraculous accounts in Scripture, it doesn't mention all these scientific details. You assume there are scientific details? We all need science behind what God does. You want to know the science behind how the loaves and the fishes multiplied in the baskets, that the more they pulled out, they just kept coming? You want the science behind Jesus walking on water? Do you want the science behind Lazarus walking out of the tomb? Sorry, don't have it. Because that's a science beyond our world. It may actually be a science, but I don't like to use that word to describe it. I like to call it a miracle. Quit taking away my freaking miracles. My freaking miracles. Stop it. Cease and desist. Like many miraculous accounts, it doesn't mention all the scientific details how the miracle took place. You're assuming that there were. Just that they did. No. You're assuming that scientific details took place. Obviously, these miracles were performed by God's Spirit. Okay, see, they admit that, but that doesn't get him off the hook here. Speaking of the hook, just as he overshadowed Miriam during the conception of Jesus. But listen how she continues. For Jesus to be a human, this is completely natural-minded, or I should say not natural, soulish-minded, scientific-minded thinking right here. I don't like it. Paula, I like most of the things you say, 99%. I don't like this at all. For Jesus to be a human, he formed and developed in the womb after a supernatural conception. Oh, supernatural conception. Sounds like she's on our side. The fetus had to develop from 23 chromosomes from the ovum, 23 chromosomes from the sperm. There you go. Really? It had to. You know that for a fact? It had to? It had to develop 23 chromosomes from the sperm? No, there was no sperms. I'm not saying there weren't 23 chromosomes, though. I'm not saying there were. I'm not saying there weren't. I'm willing to concede. Okay, there's 23 chromosomes there entering into the egg, the ovum, or the ova. Damn it, I might have made a mistake there. But why do you assume they're from sperm? They came from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God generated that. Just like the Spirit of God could have generated that coin, could have manifested that coin. Do we know what the Spirit of God can do? Like, can we define it? Can we describe it? You got to be kidding me. Spirit of God can't make a coin that looks old, that has a date on it, that has Caesar's face on it. He can't make that from scratch out of nothing. Jesus Christ. What? And then she says, if that didn't happen, like, see, if my natural explanation of this, if that didn't happen, what gestation period did God supernaturally place Jesus, by what, I think she means to say, by what gestation period did God supernaturally place Jesus in the womb? Oh, you mean you can't figure it out? I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of you here, but you can't figure it out? Well, if it wasn't sperm, then how did God do it? Wow, maybe. We're just supposed to be in awe that he did it. And let our faith attain to it. And pray to God to give us faith to attain to it. I believe he was conceived supernaturally. Here we go again. In parentheses, with total 26 chromosomes and developed accordingly. No, you don't believe he was conceived supernaturally. You don't. I'm sorry, you say you do, but you want to have your cake and eat it too. In this case, he was created supernaturally, but it took 23 chromosomes from a sperm. How is that supernatural? God does that with every single human being. God did that with my sperm. Well, I created three boys. You know that? I did. Pretty proud of myself. Where did the sperm come from? God. Didn't God give me the sperm? Where the hell does it come from? How the hell does it swim? How the hell does it know where to go? God. It's from God. See, they want to make Jesus just like them. They claim supernaturality. But did that not happen? If they're going to keep it a sperm, they try to excuse themselves like they really believe it was a miracle by mentioning it was supernatural, but I can make that claim for every single human being. We're all here supernaturally, if you want to put it that way. God, they don't want Jesus to be special. I don't get that. Stephen answers her. I got to just read this because I'm looking at my time. Respectfully, you have stated your opinion, which evades the cited verses in the original post. Here is another. You have described how one is begotten according to the flesh. Yes, Scripture explicitly says that Jesus is not begotten of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. John 1:13. What a verse. Thank you, Stephen Janowski. His body was specially adapted to him. Hebrews 10:5. Love the verses. They keep coming one after another. And Scripture indeed gives no scientific explanation for this change. It gives no scientific explanation. Just like it gives no scientific explanation for the loaves and the fishes being multiplied or Jesus walking on water. Where's the science? I don't understand. It's an Alice in Wonderland fantasy. How about the snatching away? Oh, that I understand. It's easy, yeah, sure. Okay. This is explicitly because it is not ordinary. Thank you, Stephen Janowski. If it were not peculiar, we would have no reason to even dream of believing Paul in Philippians 2, 6, 8. The creation, the generation of Christ was peculiar. Love that word. It was singular. It was a freaking miracle. Consequently, to add scientific claims to something which is clearly intended to be miraculous casts all other miracles, as plainly stated, into question. By this logic, I must provide scientific evidence for the Red Sea parting, or Jesus being roused, or a donkey speaking, a snake speaking, and more. I believe these events occurred through faith in the one who said they occurred. There's more, but I'm going to end with that. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to read it again. I believe these events, Stephen Janowski, I believe these events occurred through faith in the one who said they occurred. Amen.